So my finches are out there, but I got to get the food back up. So tonight, let's just look at something that we catch ourselves doing in some respects, and that's miracles and signs and wonders, that whole list there. And we don't look for the miracles, although we read about them and think about them. We don't look for wonders, although there will be some still, and we know that a lot of these things are just going to be lying wonders. They're still there. And if somebody says they're all thrilled about it, and you say, well, according to the scriptures, that's of the devil, you're just not going to, which I would have talked like that years ago, not even probably not that long ago, actually. But people don't have that basic concept of scripture anymore, Bible anymore, one Bible anymore. It's just nobody, it's going away, it's fading away. And if we look at, let's go to Mark. We'll just start off with a quick thing here. We'll go to Mark, like last chapter of Mark. And that's the key one, which, by the way, in all modern Bibles, this part of the chapter is missing. It's just not there, which to me is amazing. Well, it's a description of the Great Commission. Why would he take it out of there? Well, it's a place we can go to use to show that it goes against what Paul teaches. And it says here in Mark 16:17, for example, these signs should follow them that believe. Now, how do you say that that's not a true verse today if you preach the Great Commission and the Gospels out of the Bible, out of the Gospels? In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. How do you refute that? There it is. And the only way you can refute that is, well, that's written, that's what the Jews are supposed to do, and that was what was done. And that's the Great Commission. But looking to Paul, those things fade out quickly, and the Bible, King James Bible, comes along and negates the knowledge and the prophesying and the tongues as well. When does this all officially take place? Well, that's not the point, necessarily. I still believe it was 1611. You know, people can... whatever we want with that thing. But even in Paul's ministry time, he went to the Gentiles and eventually did Gentiles only. So let's look at these miracles and signs and things. Let's look at the perverted aspect of it. If these things are taught today, then you got just of a Pentecostal church. And yet we know that in more and more churches, Lutheran churches and Catholic churches and Methodist churches, all these common denominations are getting into signs and wonders and actually speaking in tongues and they're not doing it according to Paul's rules, and they're doing it with jibber jabber. It's not a new tongue. It's not a new it's not a language. You know, that whole thing. We won't get into that so much, but let's just look at some verses here, and let's just kind of pick around here. We won't go through all of them because there's just way too many of them in the Gospels, but let's put this aside here for now. I got that started. We've got this started. The sound is okay, I trust. And here we go. We're looking at miracles, signs, wonders. And it's happening. Is it of God? Is it what Paul would be preaching? Remember, I'll show you some places. Paul even did it himself. Well, Paul also talked about speaking in tongues. Paul also healed. Paul also, people touched him and they got healed. That's pretty special. Acts 2:22. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Ye men of Israel, there's the key. Hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. That's pretty plain, isn't it? We go to Acts 8:13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. This is Acts 8:13, which is just before Acts 8:37, when the Ethiopian eunuch said that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, which made him made him, saved as such. Now, let's jump way over to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, which I believe without a shadow of a doubt is talking about the tribulation. This is what's going to be said during that time to these people. And this is just a going back into the past. Hebrews chapter 2, 4. I guess I better get there myself, and I'll show you something here. Hebrews 2, 4. I don't pretend to know everything here, folks, but I tell you, these scriptures are pretty plain. Oh, I got Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, God also bearing, 2:4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Who's he talking to here? He's not talking to the Gentiles at all. Bearing them witness. Go back in the verses, and he's talking to the Jews. You go back and read through that thing. That's what Hebrews is. So there was a time that signs and wonders and divers miracles, it says, are gifts of the Holy Ghost. All that was legitimate. It wasn't that it's ever been wrong. It's just people are taking something from the Bible and trying to apply it at the wrong dispensation. That's all it is. Is that really all it is? Well, it's eternally damning people because these people are coming up with another Jesus. The only way I can think of them coming up with another Jesus is to get this perverted gospel of Christ, which brings the devil himself as the Antichrist to receive the worship. Which is, the bottom line here. Well, let's go to Matthew. Let's go here to... let's just pick this one up really quick, get it out of the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, we'll save that because that's a Paul thing. Let's get into this in a minute. Let's go back to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 24. And like I say, we're just going to pick on some of these here that we understand it, but maybe somebody else will get this for the first time. Matthew 24:24, that for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Who's the elect? During that time, it would have been the Jews. If that would have taken place, the tribulation, etc., then that would have all taken place. But because of Stephen, we went on to Paul and the Gentiles. So this stuff was set ahead to the trip, which is after Paul's writings in the Bible. Okay, anyway. Mark 13:22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce. Okay, so now we see these signs and wonders are seducing. So they're deceiving people, they're seducing people, and if as we see it in the scriptures, this has yet to come, and yet is coming. These shall rise. That's a process. That's a timing. Shall rise. More and more are going to be coming in here. And that's what we're seeing. John 4, verse 48, Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So we know that this people are going to believe because they want to see to believe. And that's what people today, they still want to see to believe. They want to see these miracles in people's lives. We look at, we read Acts 2:22 where it says, you men of Israel. Look at Acts, let's go to Acts 2:43. Acts 2:43. Now that's that little section there where we've come to realize that that's the basic, what so many pastors are building their church based on. Acts chapter 2, 41 to 47, having favor with all the people. One of the things that's stated in there, it says in verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. You hear the preachers, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to scare people into not sinning anymore and putting their committing their lives and asking Jesus into their heart and all these things. They're going to works, like we said this morning. They're going to be godliness by doing godly things that makes them a Christian. That's how they look at it. And it says here, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, of course they were. And yet it also says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Well, what is the apostles' doctrine? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is Jesus' doctrine. Acts 1 through 8 are the apostles' doctrine, teaching of the Gospels. And who's the apostle today? Paul. And you know the verses for that. So, you know, I know maybe you're even tired of me always trying to get people to see the difference here. And I know there's listeners out there that when they come into this thing, they've never heard it before, because that's how some of you were. And I always said back in Antushia, and I was doing sermons back there, that if we ever get a visitor, I've got to go back and rehash some of the stuff. So repetition is what I guess I'm famous for, among other things, I suppose. But, and also maybe it'll help you, like with Ben, talking to that Jewish guy. He did wonderful with that. Acts 4, verse 30. Look at Acts 4, verse 30. And it says here, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And you've heard that before with Pentecostal Assembly of God, charismatic signs, wonders, healers type people. You're going to talk like that, but in the name of the holy child Jesus. And Acts 5:12 mentions it again, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders. Acts 7:36, here's a review of their Jewish history. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. So we know that that took place then. So we're not against signs and wonders and things, it's just not today. Here's a good one. Look at Acts 14:3. Acts 14, we're into Paul stuff. Yeah, we are, actually. But look at here, it says Acts 14:3. Acts 14. Acts 14:3, okay. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Well, now, who are we talking about here? Well, let's go back up there, go up a little ways, we're looking at Paul and Barnabas. And he stirred up the Jews, in verse 15, honorable women. He's turning to the Gentiles, but he had already done these signs and wonders, and the Jews got mad, and Saul was made, he says there in verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. So, in Paul's ministry, there were signs and wonders. Let's see, another one here. I got so many circled notes here. Okay, well, let's leave it at that for that crowd right there. It was done. Oh, Acts 15:12. There's the other one. Acts 15 verse 12. Acts 15 verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. That wasn't even necessarily to the Jews. The Gentiles were there. Why else would Paul... Ooh, my cough. Why else would Paul even have in his scriptures, 1 Corinthians 14, if you're going to do the tongue thing, here it is, but it's better we do something. That's for the more excellent way and the voices and things. Paul's aware of that stuff. Paul's done it. This is why Corinthians is also written. It's because it was written in the early part of Paul's ministry, the Acts, and the Jews are still around. So, signs and wonders existed. Now, a real kicky one. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we get into 2 Thessalonians. That should click right away what we're getting into here. The sound is okay, I hope, out there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the whole chapter there is just dealing with the tribulation as such. But we get into verse 9, where it talks about even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. So they're not being given the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So there's a lot of wicked lying, a lot of deceiving, a lot of seducing by these signs and wonders and things. we're not to go by signs. Let's look here at 1 Corinthians 14:22. 1 Corinthians 14:22 says, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Okay, now that's fine. But we also got to remember, 1 Corinthians 13:8 says that sometime in the future, something's going to show up here, 13:10, that we know, 13:8, where it says, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And again, all this is coming from God directly, which is what he's done, even in Paul's ministry. That's what Corinthians is all about. God showing people things, and Paul preaching to these people, and they don't have the script. They have the old scriptures, but they don't have the Paul scriptures yet. I think without a shadow of a doubt, Paul was told by the risen Savior that this is what's coming someday, and when it does, this stuff is all kaput, and we get it out of our Bible. Which is why everybody hates the Bible so much. It's a spiritual thing. You know, does that mean God doesn't work? Well, yes, he works in us. There's a verse, I can't think of it right now, where he will do above and beyond what we ask. And God will work in our lives. I sense it. But it's based on the scriptures, and it's based on us responding to what he says to us as we scripturally study and read and rightly divide, and on it goes. So, because people think that we worship this Bible. We don't worship this Bible. I've got writing in it. My pages are so thin and they're dirty from looking at it so much in some sections here. I can't get into the new one yet, but it's still the Word of God. I look at this thing as a bridge between the spiritual and the physical, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So, anyway, but if I missed any of these things, look at Acts chapter 6, verse 8, looking at Stephen, Acts 6:8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Okay, so Stephen was still into that. Well, that's Acts chapter 6. Yeah, there's one more verse I want to cover. I just thought of this thing. Let's go here to Revelation. Revelation, I think it's 16 or else it's 13. We'll see when I get there. It might be 13:16 or it might be 16:13. It might not be either one. It's 16:13. "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." There's your satanic trinity there. "And for they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty," which is Revelation 19. So there it is. And he put that together with 2 Thessalonians. And we see what's happening more and more today. It's a growing thing. And just like that book said, more and more people are believing in God, but they're losing their morals because of the miracles and signs they're seeing. You've got 13. So what's 13:13 say here? "That he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." That's in Zechariah. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." And we see everybody's just being prepared for an image, a life, a live image. Take the mark and away we go. Away they go. Not we. Away they go. So it's tough. Somebody, I remember being in the fair booth and some of these people would come up. And you know what? I've never had a... I'm sure there must be men out there now, but I think the women are the ones that are so vocal about it nowadays and are so deceivable, as are men anymore. We're just as deceivable now because we're so out of the book, that they're the ones with the testimonies that steer people, that deceive people, and it's just scary. That's what we're hearing more and more. I can't even think of who the lady was that started the whole Pentecostal movement way back in Kansas. I remember Catherine Kuhlman. I mean, there's a bunch of them. Now we got the guys doing the same thing too, so I have to be careful how I say that. I don't mean it to sound like that, but it's just what it sounds. It's what I said. But what is this one here? I've got that taken care of. Let's jump to another one. Any more comments? You guys got, that was a good verse, Brian, 13:13. I want to make sure I add that to my thing there. Now that's Revelation 13:13. You've been doing some homework there, it looks like. Adriana there tonight, I hope. Let's look at this Kingdom of God, Kingdom of Heaven. That's another one that we are, it's very similar to the, good, it's very similar to the signs and wonders. It's very similar, it's the way of God in the Gospels. But Paul preaches the way of God more perfectly. So we go back here. I've got this chart online. I think you pretty much all you know about it. Website folks might not, but it's available online. And it shows the Old Testament kingship as such. And we know that at one time, Jeconiah came along. Jeremiah 22 is the verse. Let's look up Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22, verse 30. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. This is Coniah. This is a man that messed up the kingdom again, like everybody else has been. And it's been taught, and I believe it, that from this point on there will be no more male seed on the throne. Zedekiah was there, but there was nothing for him to be king over, so that wasn't really the place. And after that comes Babylon and Daniel, the Nebuchadnezzar thing, and then you got Daniel preaching and prophesying what's coming up. And then you've got Christ showing up with both the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven again. So the pattern is there. When they were back in the garden, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, Romans chapter 14, which I'll show you here in a minute for those that don't know that yet, God takes that away and it becomes an earthly kingdom, physical, earthly, visual kingdom, kingdom of heaven. And why does the word heaven conjure up somewhere up in the sky and in the clouds? The kingdom of heaven is an earthly kingdom when you read about all these verses. And so for that time, it was kingdom of heaven. Then when Jeconiah messes everything up, the kingdom of heaven is gone. Kingdom of heaven is gone. There's no kingdom. No kingdom, the devil steps in, type of Antichrist, Nebuchadnezzar. They run the ship and they destroy everything. So when Christ comes back, he comes back with both kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. When Stephen comes along and they kill Stephen and Christ goes on to the Gentiles of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is out of the sorts. So building a church and a temple and all these physical things mean nothing other than you're building upon your works, if it's a good thing that pleases God, based on Paul. And then when the rapture comes, the kingdom of God situation is gone. The devil steps in again. There's no kingdom on there. And when the millennium comes back and Christ comes back, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven exists. And the Jews could have had the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven if they would have accepted Christ as their Messiah. There's the summary of the whole thing. Now, let's look here. Kingdom of heaven is never talked about by Paul. It's not mentioned that I found. So let's go back to Matthew chapter 19, verse 24. And we have to remember that Christ talked about the kingdom of God and he talked about the kingdom of heaven. He was there to bring both if they would have taken him in. So you'll see him talking. For example, again I say unto you, Matthew 19, 24, he says, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. See, there it is. Mark 1:14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So it was there for them. Mark 1:15. And saying the time was fulfilled, this would be John the Baptist, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 4:11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. Mark 10:15. Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So there's just tons of verses about the kingdom of God. Luke 9, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 12:31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God. They could have had that then. In fact, even says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's, again, this is all to the Jews as such, and the nation as well. Now, let's look at kingdom of heaven. Matthew 3:22, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were both there. Matthew 4:17, at that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This could have been down there. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. They could have had it then. But it'll come back again someday. We're not praying for that. We're praying for now that we are in the kingdom, which I'll get to that in a minute here. Verily I say unto you, Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, earthly kingdom, is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist, verse 12, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and it did. You got parables about the kingdom of heaven. There's verses upon verses in the Gospels about the kingdom of heaven. And when you get into Paul's writings, 2 Timothy, he does say, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. That's different. To whom be glory forever and ever. And that's all Paul ever mentions, those two words. However, if we look at Romans, let's look at Acts. Let's look at Acts chapter 14. Look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. I guess I should turn to it myself. Look at something here. Acts 14. Okay. Disciples up in verse 20. Jews are still there. Paul is involved here, and he says here, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul's coming forth with this message from the kingdom of God. Acts 19, verse 8. Acts 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 20, verse 25. And now behold, and know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So Paul's kingdom that he's preaching is the kingdom of God. Look at Acts 28, verse 23. Did I use that one this morning? I think I did. Yes, we did. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. There you go. See, we don't. The mid guys, the mid Acts people who say don't go back into the Gospels and don't go back into the Old Testament and don't read the future books. No, we need to learn those things. We just can't apply them. Acts 28, verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now here's the key verse. I know you know this verse, most of you. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, and Paul's talks about the kingdom of God when he talks about these things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's see, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. This is some of the stuff that is tough for us to want to deal with because we have to accept the fact that things aren't going to be easy for us Christians like we thought they were going to be. We're not going to go through the tribulation. The kingdom of God will be taken out during that time. It becomes back to the physical following the law again. But we see in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 5. Let's go up to 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. So see, we have Christ's faith. We have His faith, but our faith should still grow as well. The charity of any one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That's what we should have. And I know I have to learn this stuff. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So he's talking about these persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. So these things that happen to us, it's a token of righteous judgment. He's not judging us. These are the things that happen to us, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom because our faith is going to grow. And so we get this humble statement that I can't be a good enough Christian to be worthy. Well, he does challenge us to be so. We look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's go back a page or two there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who called you unto his kingdom and glory. So, this kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, we should walk worthy of God. And this kingdom he's talking about here right now is the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, but we will be in his kingdom eventually as time. That's all in Revelation and John. When all the kingdoms become his. So, we find ourselves, I guess I would say, abusing grace and not wanting to live the life that Paul would teach to us because it goes against our flesh and we just tend to give in and give up and go with the flow. And we all do. It's just where we are. If we are as close to the tribulation things as we appear to be, I mean, who knows? I'm not any kind of a date setter, but look at the influence of the mark. Look at the involvement of the number 666. It's on our computers. WWW is the 666 in the Hebrew thing. But not everybody has to do 666. We can still use cash. Look at how much we're in debt. And they're saying we can't even get out of it. No, they're going to have to redesign a whole new money system. Well, of course they will. Why would they get rid of one that's working? We just see these things happening more and more. So why do we think it should be easier for us with God's blessings as such? So we just have to remind ourselves that we should walk worthy of what Christ has made us to be. Our soul, our walk should reflect that. And I know we all could grow in that department. So what are we doing here? That's would I dare pop another one in here? Am I ready for any more here? I don't think I should dare try it because I might just go long. I'm looking at doctrine and guilt. What about guilt today? And were the verses for the believe? Believe what? The obviously faith ones here. Got those to go through, so I'll just type them up there. Judgment. What about judgment and judgeth? They're all pretty quick. I'm just not ready to pop them out yet. So I think we'll just leave it at that right now. We'll be done earlier tonight, which is not thrilling because I like to teach and talk to you folks. So there you are.